Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Quite a day Saturday at the KKHI Patrons Party at Chicken and Pickle in North Kansas City. We've got a recap for those who didn't make it. We watched Kansas win, but it was kind of edge-your-seat stuff. That effort will not work again. The Hawks have to play better defense to make it to the Sweet 16. We'll break down the matchup with USC. Mizzou finishes the year 3-7 in their last 10 games after falling to Oklahoma. I really feel like this was a game Missouri should have won. We discuss what's right and wrong with Konzo Martin. I think more than anything else, he's to blame for the Tigers' late season collapse. The Royals signed Salvador Perez to the biggest contract in club history. John Sherman, as owner of the Royals, is way different than David Glass. Doesn't mean he's going to win a World Series, but the Royals are far more mainstream now than ever before. This is a great signing. The drug cartels in Mexico are making $14 million a day at the border, and it's not with drugs. They basically control all the illegal immigration, and anyone coming in has to pay them to get by them. It's crazy what we're allowing to happen. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is speaking out about all of it, big time, while Joe Biden is falling up the stairs of Air Force One and not paying attention to the border. Trump is asking Americans if they miss him yet, and he's about to start his own social media company. All ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. Their service department there is top-notch. If you'd like to get your car serviced, doesn't matter the make or model. They'll come get your car, service it for you, and return it to you. It's really that easy. It's what they do. Also, a great selection of pre-owned vehicles. They're all online at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive. Mike and his team just make it easy. That's what they do at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Elite Automation, Brad Nicholson from Elite was at the patron party on Saturday. It was great to see him there. Big Mizzou fan. I know he's very disappointed in what happened with the Tigers, but they got a great company, and it's back to business for Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that could save you thousands on your utilities. If you don't have the capital to make the investment in the equipment and the system, they'll also do consulting, and it doesn't cost you anything. They'll consult with you on how to save money with your energy costs. And when you save money, they get a percentage of what you save. Everybody wins. Online at EliteAutomate.com or call Brad and his team at 766-2188. That's 766-2188 for Elite Automation. Online at EliteAutomate.com. BeStock.net, this is the only place to buy electronics anywhere in the Midwest. People drive from 2 or 3 hours away to save $300, $400, $500, sometimes $600 on a new Samsung television or a Dell computer, HP, Lenovo. All these products are new, in the box, returned items with warranties. You want to see what they do and what their prices are? Go to the website, B as in boy, BeStock.net, and check it out. You'll also see the address and the phone number if you want to go to the outlet store. It is a true outlet store. You save big time by picking up your own products and driving them home. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, BeStock.net. All right, the tourney's rolling. Salvi's got a new contract, and Joe Biden is falling upstairs on this episode of KKHI. Hit it!
Back 9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at back9development.com.
Well, we just had a fantastic time on Saturday at Chicken and Pickle in the Northland. I want to thank all the patrons that came by for the event. We were there for about 3 hours, a little longer. A few people stayed till maybe roughly about 4 o'clock, so a really nice event. The folks at Chicken and Pickle hosted us very well. Great place if you haven't been there. Just north of downtown Kansas City in North Kansas City. And it was just a real nice time meeting with folks that are kind of like-minded, that have the same concerns. We probably talked more politics than sports, which was cool. But the Kansas game was on, and we were all kind of stunned when Eastern Washington jumped out to a 9-0 lead. And then the game stayed close most of the game before KU pulled away. We'll get into the sports in a moment. But just wanted to say thank you for the 70 or so people that showed up and came out to say hello. It's humbling. I'm just honored and flabbergasted that so many people would want to show up and hang out. It was a beautiful day. It was a great day and a great setting. Chicken and Pickle's a really cool place. They're going to open another one in Overland Park. And while they're not a sponsor and there was no deal or anything involved, I just had a great day. It was a lot of fun. We gave away a couple of gift cards, and Stacey Higgins from CBD-GC.com was there giving out goodie bags of samples of her CBD products from Green Compass. So that was pretty cool. Thanks to Stacey for doing that. She was very kind to hook so many folks up. And we had people drive in as far away as like Salina, drove a couple hours to be there. And it's just so flattering. And I really appreciate that. So many nice things were said about listening to the radio show through the years and now the podcast. I got a lot of great tips, advice, suggestions for guests or topics. And I greatly appreciate that as always, and encourage any of the listeners to correspond any way they can and get involved. If you want to be at the next patron party, you can sign up to be a patron at kkhasissues.com. Just go to the website, kkhasissues.com. You'll see become a patron. Click on it. $5 a month, you're in. We do patron podcasts there. We do the Between the Lines 2.0 every week with Danny Klinkscale. And we do a newsletter, which I just got behind this weekend and didn't get it. I'm going to get the next newsletter out probably sometime today. So we'll look forward to that as well. But mostly just thank you to everyone for coming. It's so flattering. And I'm tickled and honored that people are listening and enjoying the podcast. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and from Jessica as well. She was great. Everybody loves Jessica. They were all asking her about her holing out from 68 yards golf story. I was so happy for her that people were coming up to her saying, tell me about that 9-iron you hit, and retelling the story because it was just such a neat moment. So thank you for being so sweet to her. And some of my friends were there as well, and you got a chance to meet them. It was really a very nice day. We did watch Kansas beat Eastern Washington. Kansas now takes on USC on Monday night. KU scored 93 points in this game, and I don't look at Kansas as a great, well, they're good offensively. They're just not typical Kansas good offensively. So to score 93 points, to me, says a lot about Eastern Washington. This was a game where there was very little defense played. It was a little scary for Kansas fans because they weren't defending, and I don't know why they weren't defending, because KU is a really good defensive team, or they've become a very good defensive team. But they just went bonkers. I think Kansas scored maybe 56 points in the second half or something like that. They went nuts in the second half offensively. And I don't know that that's the formula that's going to carry Kansas deep into this tournament. To me, the formula that's going to work for Kansas is playing defense. Again, Eastern Washington was not very good defensively. KU scored 93 points. They only had 6 turnovers in the game, which is an amazingly low number. And so you could watch the game as it was played out and go, all right, that opponent isn't very good defensively. Kansas is having its way. They're scoring right and left. And maybe the game was too close for comfort for most Kansas fans, but it was a win. It was a non-typical win for Kansas. It's the kind of win Kansas gets a lot of times in the non-conference when they play lesser opponents. It just becomes kind of a free-for-all kind of game. And this was that. I mean, Kansas gave up 84. They just don't give up 84 points. It doesn't happen. I mean, the Zags did it to them. Maybe Baylor did it once, but really good teams would do. Kansas is better defensively than this. And as they go forward and get ready to play USC, and if they beat USC and move on to the Sweet 16, as they move forward in this tournament, it will be defense that carries them. They have to do this. With USC, Evan Mobley's their star, the big guy, the stud lottery pick, young player, great player. When USC has lost this year, Mobley averages 13 points a game. So it's very obvious that when Colorado beat him and some other teams have punched them out, when USC loses, it's because you contain Evan Mobley and you hold him down and you don't let him score 27. He scores 13. So that will be the key matchup for Kansas. And, you know, Bill Self teams typically are very, very good inside. They defend well and they score at the rim. This is not a classic Kansas team. The matchup advantage down low belongs to USC in this game. That's a rare thing for Kansas. Most games, Kansas owns the blocks. That's the nature of the program. That's the way he recruits. It's the way he coaches. Probably not the case against USC. If Kansas can play even down low against USC, they will win this game. Most people coming in think that Kansas will have to rely on three-point shooting, jump shooting. USC's interior defense is very good. KU probably won't score a lot at the basket, and they'll be challenged to stop Mobley. So it maybe isn't the greatest matchup. But if they just play even down low, Kansas is going to win this game. So I can't wait to see the matchup. I can't wait to see it play out. We'll see what Kansas brings. I think it will be an entirely different game than we saw against Eastern Washington, where Kansas just went up and down the floor and scored 93 points. I just don't see that happening against USC. I think this game probably gets to 70 points, maybe. You know, 70, 72, 74, something like that. Could be a winning number for Kansas if they play well and ratchet up the defense. The last game on Monday night, the last game of the day in the NCAA tournament. Missouri gets punched out by Oklahoma. A late flurry by Drew Smith at the end to give Mizzou a chance in the last moments. But Missouri's season, unfortunately, peaked in January or December and January. Their best wins were early on. Mizzou winds up losing 7 of 10 to finish the season. They went 3-7 in their last 10 games to end the year. And this game against Oklahoma was sort of typical or reminiscent of what they've been. And it was just unfortunate to watch Missouri go downhill as the season went on. I think it says something. I can't draw a complete conclusion, but it says something about Konzo Martin. And we watch so many teams just get better and better and better as the season goes on. And Missouri clearly didn't do that. Now, one of the challenges was he has a veteran team. Maybe their baseline, maybe their ceiling was what they were in December and January. Maybe that's just what they were. And there was no way to improve from that while other teams did improve. I don't know. I'm not sitting here. I don't want to pick on Konzo Martin and say he's not the answer for Missouri. He's got to go, whatever. I don't know. But certainly what we thought of Konzo Martin and his tenure at Missouri and where the basketball program was headed 8 weeks ago was far different than where it is right now. And you can't lose 7 of 10 games to end the season after being in the top 10 and not point to the coaching. You just can't. And so I think Konzo Martin, more than the players, more than anyone else and involved in this thing, is going to have to look inward and say, what did we do wrong? Where did we go wrong? What was it? At times, Missouri was very good defensively this year. That sort of got away from a little bit at the end of the season. Maybe that's the biggest takeaway from this, is there was not a complete focus or an identity on what the team is and how do we beat people. What is our calling card? Not sure I ever really, I mean, some nights Missouri would shoot it great. Some nights they defend. I felt like they were a little erratic in defining exactly what they were as a basketball team. And maybe it's just the last few weeks. Maybe it just looked that way because that's the way it was playing out and they were losing games. But I think this is on Konzo Martin. I think more than anything else, we have to look at Konzo Martin and say, okay, what went wrong? How can he and his staff do better? How do they keep this from happening next year and in subsequent years? Because it's not a good look. To finish as poorly as Missouri did is not a good look for Mizzou. They were better than this. They were better than this most of the season. And we saw it. And we saw it in the wins, in the games that they won, in the teams that they beat. You know, the Missouri's resume, the victories on their resume had them with some of the best programs in the country, best teams this year in the country. But if you just take the snapshot of the last couple months, and certainly finishing 3-7, that snapshot is not pretty, not at all. And this was, look, Oklahoma's not that good. I don't want to pick on Lon Kruger or OU or whatever. They're just not that good. This is a team I think Missouri should have beaten. I just do. Disappointing end for the Tigers and their fans. And there was, you know, at Chicken and Pickle on Saturday, there were a lot of Mizzou fans there. And I said, hey, what do you think about the game tonight? And they all went, I don't know. There just wasn't any confidence with the team, with the players, with the coaching staff, with the fan base. The last few weeks have been a really hard road for Missouri. They get punched out of the tournament 72-68 to Oklahoma. The Royals made some news over the weekend, not the spring training games. They make news over the weekend by signing Salvador Perez to the biggest contract in Royals history. Salvador Perez is guaranteed $82 million. The contract itself could go well up into the higher than that. All right, there's an option year. Salvador Perez will have made something like $130 million by the time it's all said and done with the Royals. And I know a lot of people have said that's a lot of money to spend on a catcher in his 30s. And I respond to that by saying he just turned 30. Okay, Salvador Perez has been around forever, and he's only 30 years old. Like, when I see Salvador Perez, I see a dude that looks like he's 45. I'm like, he's been around forever. He's played forever. He's not old. He's 30. A lot of people believe that the prime baseball years are like 27 through 32. Those are the perfect ages. So he's still got a couple of years at the peak of his greatness. I had dinner with my son and a friend of his in Arizona a couple weeks ago when we were out there, and the discussion came up of Salvador Perez, and I said, I believe he's going to make the Hall of Fame. Not the Royals Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame. And they both said, oh, you're crazy, you're nuts. You know. I said, listen, he just turned 30. He has 6 All-Star appearances. That's going up. He has 5 Gold Gloves. That's going up. He has 3 Silver Slugger Awards. That's going up. And he's a World Series MVP. Now, I recognize that baseball in the Hall of Fame is driven by what you do statistically. He's not going to hit 700 home runs. All right. Salvi's missed some time. He's had injuries. He's missed games. I know the arguments against. But I just believe there's room in the Hall of Fame for a player that, and this is assuming that he plays 7 more years, that he plays till he's 37. Maybe it will all be with the Royals. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I think eventually he becomes a DH. I think he catches maybe 2 or 3 more years and becomes a first baseman or DH. But he's become an offensive player that the Royals never thought he would be. They thought they had a great catcher that wasn't going to be a very good hitter because he wasn't very disciplined. And he still is a bad ball hitter. He swings at bad pitches a lot. He had a game-winning hit in a wild card game on a bad pitch that he shouldn't have swung at. That's what Salvi is. He's a ball player. He brings an energy and enthusiasm and leadership to a team like nobody else. I believe the Baseball Hall of Fame will eventually evolve into something more than what are these numbers on a piece of paper. Now, his numbers are going to be great. He's going to have really good numbers when it's all said and done. But I don't think numbers alone gets him in. I think you have to look at Salvador Perez and ask, what kind of player was he? What did he do for the game? What did he mean for the game? And I think Salvador Perez is really the only Hall of Famer from the Royals World Series team. I mean, Eric Hosmer, no. Moustakas, no. There were good players on there. There's some outstanding closers. I think the only person to really get consideration for the Hall of Fame is going to be Salvador Perez. And I believe he's going to do it. I think his 6 All-Star appearances will be 10 or 11. It'll be double digits by the time he's done. His 5 Gold Gloves will probably be 7 or 8. Silver Slugger Awards, got a chance at a couple more of those. Will he get back to a World Series? I don't know. He played in a couple of them. He could get back. The Royals are spending money. They're doing the right things. I think we all agree they're going to be better this year than what people think. They may disappoint us this year. They may. But I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be a nice baseball team. Not a World Series champion. Not a great team. But they're going to be good. They're not. This John Sherman is pouring money in. The Royals are doing deals. They're signing players. John Sherman is making a statement as the chairman, as the owner of this baseball team, that it's not the same as the way David Glass did things. Now, David Glass won a World Series. He's got scoreboard, but they're not in business to make a certain profit every year. They're not in business to build the value of the team, to sell it off and make $1 billion, which the Glass family made $1 billion on the Royals. They made over $1 billion, okay? They ran their business the way they ran their business. Thankfully, it included winning a World Series, and it was great. But the Royals got stripped apart after the World Series and were maybe as bad as the day Dayton Moore arrived. Not good at all. And it seems like John Sherman is saying, that's not the way we're doing business here. Okay, we're going to be more mainstream baseball and do what other teams do. And that means locking up Hunter Dozier. That means locking up Salvador Perez. It means drafting wisely, bringing along young players, having smart people involved, not afraid to do trades, not afraid to sign a free agent, not afraid to keep our own players. These are all great signs. And Salvador Perez is here. $82 million guaranteed. It'll be more than that if the Royals pick up the option. And I say, bully, yeah, for the Royals. That's a good signing. Salvador Perez was set to be a free agent at the end of this year. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Jorge Soler, because he's set to be a free agent as well As we know, he led the American League in home runs a couple of years ago. Will the Royals make a commitment to him as well? I don't know. They have some young outfielders, power hitters in the organization that they may go to. Salvador Perez for the Royals was just a no-brainer. This is our guy. He's our marquee guy. Everybody knows him. Everybody loves him. Salvador Perez is he's the George Brett of this era. The 2014 and 15 World Series and this era of Royals baseball will be most defined by Salvador Perez, not any other player. Like, my wife's favorite player was Hosmer. Great. Salvador Perez is the defining player of this era of Royals baseball, and they made that commitment to him, and I say, outstanding. Good work by the Royals, for sure. Also, over the weekend, the NFL announced that the draft is going to take place in Cleveland it's going to be large, it's going to be live. That's what they've said. We're going to have a large, live draft in Cleveland. So the NFL is going to have fans. The draft is on. It's like the last week of April. April 29 and 30, something like that. So it's going to be on. And I think I'm excited about April. I mentioned that UFC is going to have three title matches in Jacksonville, Florida in April with a sold-out arena. Every seat, 16,000. I think April is the month that we all recognize COVID is over, that the lockdown's over. Not 100% back to the way things were, but enough of things out there that show us, there it is. There's what it is. We got fans in the stands at Kauffman Stadium. The UFC fight is sold out. The NFL's having a draft with fans. People are no longer afraid to do this. So I'd ask this question. The Royals are going to let 10,000 fans in for opening day, and through the month of April, they've said 10,000 is our max at Kauffman Stadium. Okay, that's a decent number. 10,000's good. I like that. If the government last week said we were wrong about 6 feet apart, that it really is 3 feet apart, why can't the Royals instantly double that to 20,000? In fact, the Royals don't really sell out. Why can't they just open it? Why don't the Royals just say, we're done with this? Come on to Kauffman Stadium, respect one another, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, whatever. Don't get in people's faces. Enjoy the game. I would love to see the Royals step up and do that. I don't know that they will, but I don't know that they can't. I don't know that baseball has said, hey, you can't do this. It would be something if I owned the team that I'd challenge. I certainly would challenge it. And I'd say, look, 10,000 is a number. We're going to start slow, but maybe May 1st. We're going to open this up and see how ticket sales go. Maybe we'll cap it at 20 or 25. But to be honest, most games there aren't 20,000 there anyway. Let's just go back to normal. Let's work our way back. If 16,000 people can pack in an indoor arena for UFC in Jacksonville, Florida, the Royals can do 20,000 outdoors at the K. And I'd like to see it. I'd like to see them step up and be the one that does it. I think they can. I think it would be safe enough. I applaud the NFL for saying, we're going big and bold. At the end of April, we're going big and bold. It's going to be large. It's going to be live. It's going to be in Cleveland. We're doing the draft. Good for the NFL. Good for UFC. Let's keep moving on this. Let's keep it going. KKHI is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in Kansas City for your convenience. The first appointment's free. All you got to do is call and mention Kevin Keatsman has issues. 469-9191. That's 469-9191. Dr. Jeremy Fry was at the patron party on Saturday. I just can't thank him enough for coming. He brought his son, who he's going to dedicate some time to this summer. I think he's going to teach him how to play golf. They're going to start playing golf, which is really cool. Great father-son time. And they came by on Saturday. And it was just really nice of him to be there. He's just a good dude. And they have a great practice. Really, seriously. If you need to improve your smile, Fry Orthodontics is the only way to go anywhere in the Midwest. They're simply the best. Fry Orthodontics. FryOrthodontics.com. Your smile is just the start. Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Call Buck Roofing for a free roof inspection. If you mention the podcast, they'll inspect your roof for free, let you know where you stand. This is always a good thing to do in the springtime if you haven't done it for a while. I don't recommend do it every spring, but spring is the best time to have your roof inspected. If it's been a few years, if somebody's never been on your roof, have Ron or one of his team members come out and take a look. 913-384-2680. That's 384-2680. Online at rbuckroofing.com. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Gary and Dave and Cameron, the whole gang there. Family-run business. It feels like it the second you walk in. You'll love the way they treat you at Joslyn's Jewelry. If you're in the market for something sweet or pretty for her, guys, consider Joslyn's, 95th and Antioch. Joslyn's Jewelry, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Okay, they have a number now on how much the cartels are making at the border. Like the little talked about and unknown part about all this crazy illegal immigration that Biden is allowing. We see the awful pictures of the kids in detainment. You could say they're in cages, whatever. It's bad. They're overrun by kids, so there's just no way to deal with this. So we're spending tens of millions of dollars at the border right now on transportation, housing, hotel rooms, meals, healthcare for people that are just walking into our country. This is insanity. It's, you know, we talk about, you know, not being loyal or turning on your country. This is about as bad as it gets. I mean, this really is. This is so anti-American. People die on their way. They get raped on their way. They get injured on their way. It takes weeks to get here. If they get across, it's a great deal. We've incentivized crime. That's what we're doing. It is a crime to enter the country illegally. That's the smallest of the crimes. The cartels are getting them here. That's the part nobody's talking about. I read a story this weekend. The cartels, the drug cartels, they love making money, right? And drugs is lucrative and violent and dangerous. This is not as violent or dangerous, and it's just as lucrative. The drug cartels in Mexico that are bringing in tens of thousands of people into our country are making, are you ready for this number? $14 million a day. $14 million a day. These people, they're not just wandering up from El Salvador and getting in a raft and crossing the river and getting in. Okay? It's a business. You can't get past the cartel without paying them. Right? So they control their border more than we control ours. The cartels control the Mexican border. It is $14 million a day in business for these people to be allowed to cross. I mean, I don't know if that's more or less lucrative than drugs, but it sure is easier. And there's really no getting caught because in Mexico, it doesn't seem like it's really a crime to do this. You're just charging people to get in rafts and take them across the river. With your gangs, with your cartel, with your violence, you control the passage. They can't get by you unless they pay you and they know the game. This is unbelievable it's unbelievable. Now, Trump has gone, he let loose this weekend, and he was on Fox earlier today, and he's just, a couple people close to Trump have said, in the next 2 to 3 months, he's starting his own social media platform. I can't wait for this. I'm on Parler, I'm on Twitter, but I'm on Parler as well. Parler's going to be in real trouble, unless he's buying Parler, which I don't think he is. When Trump starts up his own social media, and I suspect it will be something that competes with Facebook and something that competes with Twitter. A lot of people have said it's going to be called Patriot or something like that. We'll see what he names it, what he brands it. People close to him have said on the record in 2 to 3 months, he's going to be back on social media on his own platform and instantly millions of people will join. I'll join. I'm all in. I want to get off Twitter so bad. You have no idea. We talked about this with patrons on Saturday. Nobody there likes Twitter. I don't like Twitter. I feel like I need to post my episodes and stuff on Twitter just because I have 20,000 followers and I can, it's like advertising. It's getting the word out, but I hate Twitter. I mostly just hate it. I do it because what? I'm supposed to. So I have 20,000 followers on Twitter. I've got like 600 on Parler is all. When Trump's platform comes out, I'm jumping on there and I'm going to try to build that up. And I think I'll enjoy that for him a much smaller number of people could follow me there, but I know what those people are about, and I know why they're there following me. That will be good. I can't wait. So Trump's just basically the gloves are off at this point. He's doing what Trump does. He's running around saying, I told you so. And he's right. It's like, I told you so. Do you have remorse yet or regret from the election? Joe Biden is falling down, climbing stairs on what they're, I don't know if you've seen the meme or not. It says Chair Force One. And it's on the steps leading up to the airplane. It's got one of those lift chair things that like old people have to go upstairs. The chair lift. Chair Force One. There's a lot of great memes out there. My favorite is Trump hitting a golf ball, and then it looks like the golf ball hits Biden in the head, and he falls on the steps. Or the one with Jen Psaki at the White House, and she's in the quote underneath her says, well, you know, we inherited a bad set of stairs from the previous president. I mean, you have to laugh at it. I mean, Biden can't walk up the stairs without tripping and falling. You have to laugh at it. You can't take this presidency seriously. We know that Obama is behind all of it. We know that. He's not at the White House every day. He's not on the phone all the time. It's his people. They talk to him. He's pushing all these things. Biden will go along with anything. I've thought from day one, this president is stepping down after the midterms. They're going to let him lose the midterms. See, they've got run of house for 2 years, and he doesn't care. All he wanted was to become president. So he got that. He gets to be remembered as a president. Great. That's all he wanted. He's not interested in doing the right thing or helping or anything. I think he steps down. I think they lose the midterms. I think the Republicans get the House and the Senate in the midterms. And then Biden will be like, I'm sick or I'm stepping down or whatever. They'll put Kamala in there and people will see her as a president then. And she will basically run for president as the sitting president. I think it's going to happen. I don't think the guy makes 4 years. I don't know how it's impossible to make it 4 years. He's not even done a news conference yet. He can't walk up the stairs without tripping and falling. It's a shame. It's an absolute shame. And Trump is just out there beating on him right and left. Trump didn't go in hiding. He didn't disappear. He's not staying quiet. To me, it's pretty obvious he's going to run. And I think he's going to run against Kamala Harris. So we'll look forward to that and we'll see, you know, exactly what happens on that front. But it is pretty interesting to hear him. He's such a dominant influence. When I hear him do interviews, when I see the things that he's doing, it almost feels like he's still president. Like he's driving the narrative. He's driving the discussion in this country. It's what Trump wants to talk about. We'll see if that fades over a couple of years, and maybe he won't run. Maybe his next game is kingmaker. Maybe it's social media, starts his own platform, is in business, starts making billions of dollars, and by endorsing candidates around the country, he's a kingmaker. Maybe that's what he does. But maybe he does run. We'll see. I just know this. I felt like in the last week with the things that he's saying and what's happening at the border and the stupidity of the Biden presidency and the fact that he doesn't do news conferences, and he's falling downstairs and, you know, all these other things. It sort of felt like the last few days that Trump is president. Sort of. I wish he was, because we have mayhem. We got a lot of mayhem, especially at the border. Okay, we'll have much more coming up this week on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues as the news unfolds, and of course the NCAA tournament. It's a weird tournament schedule. So they're playing here on Monday, which is fun, right? So it's just a different schedule than it's been in the past. We enjoy that. We'll do lots of sports. We're getting close to opening day for the Royals. And again, thanks to all the patrons who came out on Saturday to Chicken and Pickle. It was a great event. If you'd like to join and sign up as a patron, go to kkhasissues.com and sign up right there. And I'd love to include you in the patron program. It's only $5 a month. It's easy. And there's bonus programming. Again, every week we do the Between the Lines reboot with Danny. I do more podcasts than that. We also do the newsletter and special events like we had on Saturday. For the patrons, we very much enjoy it. Hit the follow button. That's free. Hit the follow button or find someone else who listens to it and have them hit the follow button. That's a huge deal for the podcast. And we'll catch you next time on KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.